This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, I'm Wong Xiaoning. With me is Khoo Soo Chuang, and this is The Morning Run. In about 15 minutes, we'll be speaking to Dr. Hamidin Abdul Hamid, Research Fellow at Ilham Centre, about the status of Perikatan Nasional. But for now, let's recap how global markets closed last week. Because Asian markets closed mixed on Friday on the back of poor US GDP data, Nikkei was down 2.8%, Hang Seng was down 0.5%, Shanghai was up 0.7%. Meanwhile, our own FBM KLCI and Singapore Straits Times were actually closed for the Hari Raya public holidays.
But of course, in America, the pandemic or the GDP doesn't phase stock markets. The Dow was up by 0.5%, the Nasdaq was up by nearly 1%, and the S&P was up by 1.5%.
So stellar performance, right? So for some thoughts on global markets, we have on the line Stephen Innes, Asia-Pacific Market Strategist with Axie Trader. Good morning, Stephen. First question. Over the last week, we saw Amazon and Apple's earnings coming out and they outperform market expectations. Should investors continue to bet on big tech now, considering how well they've done? I mean, where do you see prices in a year's time, for example?
Well, it's interesting. I think they're really benefiting from the stay-at-home narrative here where technology is getting more embraced, if you can believe it or not. And I think as the propensity for people to work from home increases, I think technology will continue to flourish. I think it was very, very surprising, the results that we saw. And obviously, the market reaction confirmed that. But I also think adding to the flavors, the FOMC, which is reaffirming their enduring commitment to keep interest rates low. How does this play out for the future? Well, necessarily, you're buying stocks today, but you're paying for future earnings in infinity, with interest rates remaining quite low for as far as the eye can see. I don't see rates moving up for maybe 5-10 years to recover from this pandemic. Well, your present value of those future earnings back today and probably looks quite cheap. I think tech shares are going to continue to rise for the next 10 to 20 years. And I think this is why people and also big funds are buying into tech for the longer term view, not necessarily what's happening next week.
Yeah, Stephen, 80% of U.S. companies reporting earnings have so far beaten expectations. The question is, will those results continue to propel the rally? And I think more importantly as well, did that surprise you, given the fact that second quarter was when the pandemic was the strongest and most malevolent?
I think what's surprising me is how much the market underestimates the resilience of consumers. They find ways to do stuff even when they're at home. They'll shop online. They'll find other ways to satisfy their means. The biggest problem we really face is around the unemployment sector and actually money. This is why there's such a big issue dealing with this Congress, the U.S. Congress deal getting put through. We need to keep money in people's pockets, although that's going to be greatly reduced by the looks of the Congress. Like, we keep on focusing on the stocks, but it's really the consumers that are driving the bus. And the hope is here for a lot of investors right now is that they're hoping they can do the same in August again. Hope here is that the markets will continue to do what it's done all year. Technology will continue to be the leader. Market patterns will remain the same. And the big thing here is that investors are confident that a vaccine will come sooner or later this year. And this will allow other sectors of the market to climb. And this is really what's appealing to the index investors right now.
Yes, but Stephen, trying to make sense of the market becomes even more strange, right, when we look at the US GDP numbers, because it's the worst since records began. So a contraction of 32.9%. And at the same time, we're having these rising jobless claims. So there seems to be this huge disconnect between the economic reality and financial markets. Won't one catch up with the other eventually?
Well, I think looking at annualized data in the midst of a pandemic doesn't make any sense to start off with. I mean, obviously, the numbers are going to be glaringly negative. We know because we came to a sudden stop. This is unprecedented. We knew we were going to be dealing with quite a mess. But look, the governments and central banks have added a huge amount of stimulus to the markets that are allowing to bridge this gap, so to speak, right now. And I think this is what's still endearing the market. We've got this wall of money that continues to buy stocks on the downside. But I agree with you. There's a huge disconnect here. But thanks to the governments again and the central banks for papering over all these cracks, Markets continue to remain resilient, surprisingly enough. I think at one point there will be a reality check set in, probably when people start realizing, well, we have to pay for all this debt. But, you know, for the time being, I think the markets are just going to go on their merry way. I think we're going to probably get into more of a range trade environment where the bottom side is going to be supported by that incredulous amounts of stimulus, whereas the top side is going to remain thwarted by the COVID beatdown, economic beatdown, at least until a vaccine gets in the hand of people throughout the world.
Yeah, question on China for you, Stephen. Crude oil volume bound for that part of the world has fallen to the lowest level since May. Would this indicate that demand is faltering and that the oil bears are back?
A couple of things here. We have to remember that China really loaded up on crude oil below $20 per barrel, if we recall. And so their volumes are quite big. So there has been a slight ebbing in demand, but I don't think that's necessarily such a bad thing. Well, it is a bad thing, but I don't think it's such necessarily a deal breaker. However, you know, just looking at the general market right now, things don't look great for August. And we have OPEC putting more barrels back in the market. We have the U.S. production looking to ramp up some of those shut-ins again. We still, I mean, looking at the headlines today, now we're over 18 million. Can you believe it? 18 million cases worldwide as we enter this new phase of the virus where cases and death counts rise exponentially. You know, this just speaks fear fast and loud. And this is really what worries me. It just weighs so negatively on consumer sentiment that, you know, people just don't want to come out of their house and even drive. You know, that's a huge problem. I think until we get a definitive flattening of the COVID case counts, I think people are just going to remain stuck in. I'm not looking for a great month for August here, but, you know, fingers crossed things will turn better in September. But, you know, there's no guarantee with this nasty flu ravaging the world right now.
All right. Thank you for your time. That was Stephen Innes, Asia Pacific Market Strategist with Axie Trader, warning that, you know, oil prices will probably come under some pressure because, let's face it, demand isn't there. And I think with increasing lockdowns around the world, I mean, you see a resurgence of virus cases, especially in America and even recently in Melbourne right now. They're first time ever for an Australian city to go under a curfew. So no movement between 8 p.m. and 5 a.m. All these things have an impact on people's driving patterns and oil consumption. So not such good news for oil prices. But although he still sounds very optimistic, especially on tech, basically we are paying for earnings to infinity. That's his word, because rates are so low.
There is no way. How can central banks start to raise interest rates? I mean, you think about it, right?
They didn't even raise rates from 2008. So what more now,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah. So the really weird thing is that when, you know, it's a bit like you're a drug addict, right? And you're hooked on heroin. The last thing you should do when you're hooked on heroin is to give the guy more heroin, right? But that's exactly what central banks have been doing. They've been giving sugar to sugar addicts for the last, 12 years, and they've just stepped up the dosage.
It was a question of no choice, right? Because, I mean, it was unprecedented, you know, and the mantra was do whatever it takes and do it fast. Of course, now you're kicking the can down the road and wondering how you're going to ever unwind this situation.
Well, the one phrase that Stephen said, which really was quite astounding, was the fact that he said tech earnings are going to rise for the next 10, 20 years.
Which is what we saw on Friday, because Apple, the big guy, they reported quarterly revenue that beat Wall Street forecasts. So their third quarter revenue came in, beat this, okay, Chuang, $59.7 billion.
I'll just call it $60 billion, just between
okay,
friends.
Okay, so it's probably like the GDP of three or four small countries combined together. And it crushed analyst expectations of $52.3 billion. So despite the world going into a lockdown, despite virus cases hitting 16 million, they somehow still managed to beat numbers by selling more iPhones than expected and also growing their services revenue.
Yeah, so the iPhone, okay, a lot of people might not realize this, but roughly half their revenues, Apple's revenues, come from selling these phones, okay? And when you consider that these phones are really expensive, then you've got to wonder to yourself, all that stimulus checks that came to people's pockets during the pandemic, half went to buying stocks on Robinhood, the other half went to buying iPhones. I'm just joking. I'm just generalizing,
I'm
right?
Sure a lot of people use it to put food on the table and pay their bills, strong, not buy iPhones.
I'm just being a bit fishy. Issues here, okay? But also the fact that they've released the iPhone SE during the period, which is the budget phone. And then there's now talk that the iPhone 12 might come in with smaller batteries, nicer cameras, but also much more expensive than expected.
Yeah, the other company that did really well, also beat analyst expectations, was Facebook. Their revenue rose 11% on year to $18.7 billion, compared with $17.3 billion analyst expectations. So they are recording net income of $5.2 billion. Another small country here, although income from operations only rose 29%. So basically, all these tech guys are just doing extremely, extremely well. And I think it's a question of scarcity value where for a sector, you're actually seeing earnings growth, explaining the huge share price jump. But anyway, up next, we'll be speaking to Dr. Hamidin Abdul Hamid, Research Fellow at Ilham Center, about the status of Perikatan National. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.